Living in the dimension of now. Living in the dimension of now. This is instant inspiration from God Unlimited, University of Healing. And this is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly bringing us these thoughts. Living in the dimension of now. What does that mean? Well, friends die. And they tell us that they have lost their husband, lost their wife, lost their child, lost their grandma, lost their uncle or aunt or grandpa or whoever. And they say they've lost them. And really, they didn't lose them. They're right where they always were and always will be, eternally there. Life is eternal. But we have the tendency to pretend that it's temporary. It's fleeting. Get all the fun and gusto out of life you can get. This is the only time around. Well, now, obviously, those are not Christian people who are saying those words. Those are not people who have been trained in the teachings of Jesus the Christ. Because Jesus said life is immortal. And Jesus said that we live forever. Now, we constantly go around saying that we're not doing things that our philosophy tells us we are. Now, if your philosophy does not allow you to include that life is immortal, life is eternal, then don't call yourself a Christian. Go to some other philosophy that has mortality as their philosophy of life. That things end with the cessation of the usefulness of the body. Now, we live on many dimensions, and this is just one of those dimensions, a nice one. It could be better. It could be really wonderful on this dimension if we knew who we were, if we'd realize that we are divine and we're wonderful. And everything we do is good and very good. If we'd realize that, then we wouldn't be concerned about dying. We wouldn't be concerned about being born. Oh, they say that life is sacred, that life is precious, that life is wonderful. But really? If life is so wonderful and so precious, why do you go contrary to what your doctor tells you to do as far as eating? Why do you go to fast food restaurants and eat and enjoy the hamburgers and the hot dogs and all of the things that they make there, tacos and what have you? They're good. They're delicious. Lots of grease in them, lots of salt in them, lots of sugar in them. Really, they're probably more potent than a candy bar. Candy bar seems like it's concentrated sugar, but it's not. The concentrated sugar is in these fast foods. That's what makes them so delicious. That's what makes Kentucky Fried Chicken so wonderful. It's two-thirds sugar. And it's a secret. It's a secret recipe that makes it so delicious. And it is very delicious, very tasty. It makes you want more. And then when you eat a bunch of it, you say, oh, boy, I've had enough. I feel, you know, sort of somehow just not comfortable. Because you have overdosed yourself on sugar. You've overdosed yourself on oil. You've overdosed yourself on all sorts of things that you wouldn't normally do. Now, what is it that the doctor says to you? My friends, I am the wisdom of the universe. That's what the doctor says, you know. And we say, okay, doc, we'll buy that. And he said, if you want to lose weight, take the skin off of the chicken before you eat it. The chicken is perfectly good to eat. It's not fattening. But the skin, ooh-wee, that's the best part of the chicken. The skin is so fattening. But now, why is the skin fattening? Because it has fat in it? Perhaps. I'm sure that they'll come up with some reason why it's fattening, but most of the time, when the doctors come up with these wonderful positive statements about the beneficial or non-beneficial action of some food, 6 months later, a year later, they come up with a contrary opinion. We're living in the dimension of now. And we are divine. We are divine beings living in the dimension of now. And instead of going to our doctor, instead of going to our lawyer and our merchant and our chief, instead of going to all these people and asking what it is that we should eat, we should listen within. We should go to the divine within us that created us and that knows what it is that is necessary or beneficial to maintain this physical body. And the divine within us will say, this is good and that's good and this is good. A little bit of this is okay. Now, I think it's fascinating, really utterly fascinating, that people who drink alcohol, after 1 month they have cleaned up to a certain degree, after 2 months they've cleaned up to a bigger degree, and after 3 or 4 months their body is almost without any remnants of the alcohol they drank. Interesting, you know? Now, the same thing is true of cigarettes. They have found that when people stop smoking cigarettes, the first week, second, third week, first 6 months, and first year, and at the end of the first year, your lungs are almost back to their original purity and integrity. They got a little ways to go if you're a heavy smoker. They have a little ways to go before they get all that tar out of there and all that stuff that gets lining in your lungs, but it'll go. It'll go because the body is constantly rejuvenating itself. Every day, new cells are born. Every day, the body is building new parts. But of course, if we have the attitude that we have asbestos in our lungs, then we will be bothered by that. Because we think, how can asbestos get out of our lungs? Well, the same way it got in. The same way it got in. It doesn't have to be impacted down in the little tiny tubes in the lungs there. It can be impacted or not impacted. And as you stay away from it, and as you live a wholesome life, you will have it. Now, if you smoke cigarettes and you stop, and you still drink a lot of alcohol, the nicotine will not be washed out of your system. It will get out in time. But you see, your body is fighting the alcohol so strongly, trying to take care of it, running it through your liver and other parts of your body so that it can have the benefit from it and not have the inebriation of it. Well, you see, we're living in this dimension, and our divine self knows the answers to all these things. All we have to do is go within our divine self, and we'll have the answers. And we will live in a beautiful, healthy, wonderful body. We will live in a beautiful, wonderful, healthy mind. We'll live in a beautiful, wonderful, healthy spirit. It all depends on what we do for ourselves in whatever dimension that we're on. Now, if you're living on a dimension, which does not have a body, but only has a mind, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And how do you contact one mind to another? The same way you're doing it now, mm-hmm. By your thought. But you would not be making yourself think that it's your outer actions that make it so. Now, early Christianity was saying, by your acts you shall be known. And you should be, you know, do good acts. Good acts, good thoughts, good deeds, you know, good words, good acts, good thoughts. And because that's so important. Well, actually, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what acts you do. You can live in a mental world where you have no acts, but you have thoughts. And these thoughts are tremendous, they're powerful, they're demanding, they're upbuilding and destroying both. This is why the Hindus have the dualistic God. the God of destruction and the God of creation. See, when they talk about Shiva there, they're talking about this beautiful God that does both. Well, the God of the Christians does the same thing. Because what is it we're told? From dust to dust. From dust we're created, and to dust we return. Well, now, and does that have to be? Can you ascend and take your body with you? Can you leave your body here and let the family mourn over it? Well, I think leaving your body here is a much nicer thing for your family than taking it with you, because they'll never know what happened to you. And they'll always be hoping that you'll be coming back. And you left because you didn't want to come back, because you'd finished with it here. Now, you say, well, that's interesting. We ascend and take our body with us, and our family's unhappy about it. Well, I tell you, that's not true. When you ascend and take your body with you, your family at that moment is in complete release of you. They know. A mother knows when her son is killed in battle or something like that. She just knows it in her heart. And then she mourns and releases it right away. And later, when the news comes from the government that her son has been killed in the battle, she says, yes, I know. And she's already mourned. She's already been unhappy. She already misses him and realizes that's it. And so then she rents out his room to somebody else. Now you say, oh, come on, Herb, that's silly. No, it isn't. A healthy person does that. A healthy person, if their dog is run over or dies, they get a new one. A healthy person, if their child dies, they either adopt another or they create another. They get busy. Because that child was there for that period of time. Now, they sort of like it. They enjoyed having that child there. That child was a lot of fun in their life. It brought a lot of joy to them. They realized how nice it was. So, they're not going to be without a child. They'll go and adopt them. We read about some of these families that adopted, you know, 12 kids and more. And you think to yourself, my goodness, how do they have time to spend with those kids? How do they have time to share with them and teach them values of life and things like that? Well, they do. Much better than the people with a few kids, one or two. Because they're always out trying to earn more money. They're out trying to socialize, out trying to upgrade themselves. The person with a bunch of kids, they know that their kids are their fun. Their kids are their joy. Their kids are their amusements. Their kids are their sport, you know, because they're out playing games together. They're out fishing, camping, hunting. They're out doing things, you know. And that's wonderful. Like Mariella, Ellen's daughter, her husband, Massimo, he runs a very, very, very successful business. He started from nothing, built it up. He had a few dollars to help him along the way, but he started from nothing, and he built a very reputable business. And the business is called Being Yourself and Having Fun, because everybody just works together and thinks up beautiful ideas of working on computers. Well, in his busy time, he still makes time every evening to be with his children, his five children. He makes time to talk to them. He makes time to spend a little bit with each child, quality time with each child. And he takes them to the gymnasium. He takes them to the sporting rinks. And he spends the time with them. But now, here he is, a very busy, successful businessman. And he has a wife to take care of too, you know. He's got five kids to take care of. And he's got several offices. But you see, he cares about himself. And he takes quality time with his family. And he's living in this dimension of now fully and beautifully. I use him as an example quite often because he is a good example. Now, what if he falls down on the job sometime and makes a mess out of things? So, at least when he was working at it, he did a good job. Now, we can all do a good job. We can all live in a very harmonious dimension right here and right now. And we can listen within and hear what the divine within tells us is right for us to do, right for us to eat, right for us to wear, right for us to think, right for us to speak. Now, it's not that another entity is guiding us in what we're doing. It's our divine self. It's our real self that's telling us these things. Our real self says, don't do that. You'll hurt yourself. Well, now, why would you hurt yourself if your divine self is guiding you? Well, that's what he's guiding you. I like the illustration that we gave the other day here in one of the talks. And it said, man prayed that God would take care of him. And then the flood came along. And his neighbors came along and said, come on, we'll help you get out of here. And he says, no, God will take care of me. And then the water got up, and he got up on the second floor, and the boats came by and said, come on, we'll take you out. No, God will take care of me. And the flood got higher, and he climbed up on the roof. And the helicopter came along and said, I'll pull you off. No, God will take care of me. And the water rose until it got through his nose, and he died and went to heaven. Now, how he got to heaven, I don't know, but he got to heaven. And he said to St. Peter, St. Peter, what in the hell is wrong with God? I was confident that he would take care of me. And St. Peter says, we were watching you. And we were taking care of you. We sent the neighbors in to help you out. We sent a boat in to take you away. We sent a helicopter in to take you away. But you wanted to be taken away by the water. You wanted to move in another dimension. So that's your privilege. That's your choice. And you see, this is our choice. And we can listen to the divine within. And the divine within can be pretty obvious in the outer, too. The boat, the helicopter, it can be pretty obvious. But if we're not going to pay attention to it, if we're going to say, hey, that's not the divine, everything is divine. Everything is the divine. So remember, living in the dimension of now is lots of fun when we just let go and listen to the divine within us that always gives us the right answer. I love you, and have a lovely evening.